Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we are discussing the power of investing in yourself.
Yeah, Joel, this episode we're going to talk about almost continuing education in a way. We're going to talk about how and why you should continue to invest in yourself, and we're going to talk about ways that we can do that for free, or at least close to free.
Man, free, that's my middle name. Like, I'm obsessed with free, so yeah, I love
that. Is that going to be your son's middle name?
In all likelihood, there's a good chance.
Oh, I almost said what I think you guys are going to name your son, but we shouldn't do that just in case you decide to pull a little switcheroo at the last second.
Which, interesting story, when we first met your middle child in the hospital, you had a name for her. We met her.
Personal experience. This is why I said that, because
I met her, I called her that name, and then you changed the name on us, dude.
But it didn't work out for us. So that's all I gotta say. We didn't like it.
So, like, how long did it take, by the way? Personal story here. How long did it take for you guys? Was it like 24 hours of calling her that?
And you're like a day or two of calling her what we thought we were gonna name her, and it just didn't sound right. Every time we said her name, we kind of looked at each other, Kate and I, we're like, is that really her name? I don't think we're gonna go with that. And so we called an audible, we switched it up, and we are so happy that we did. So you never know, man, even though you guys might have a name pinned down, which I know you do, we'll see what he ends up being named there in the end. Hey, which, by the way, we're really close to naming our son as well.
You guys have been waffling back and forth.
So. We always waffle. So that's just how we do it.
Or don't waffle. Maybe you don't even think about it sometimes.
Well, yeah, that is true. But this past week, during our date night, we actually had a pretty serious conversation. And we did a little high five. We said the name, we did a high five. And we said, did we just name our son? And we may have. But before we kick things off, man, I got a quick frugal or cheap for us.
Oh, bring it, dude. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it has. So the other day I was taking my daughter to school. Our school has this thing called morning meetings, and you know, the entire school gets together. They have a big meeting in the auditorium. All the kids are there. It's not nearly as chaotic as it sounds, but all the parents are invited to stay for that as well. And I try to make that a couple times a week. Well, normally I roll in there with just gym shorts on and a t-shirt because it's still towards the end of summer and I get pretty hot and sweaty. And I normally don't care at all what I look like because I work from home. For me, clothes just aren't a huge priority. But lately, man, I've been wondering if I should be concerned.
I'm just going to shoot from the hip. I think you should be wearing a tuxedo to morning meeting.
Well, I mean, on that note, there's a lot of parents that are rolling in there and, you know, they're getting ready to drive off to their professional jobs and they've got more formal environments and they are wearing ties, at least slacks and button-up shirts. And so I started wondering, is this me being frugal, right? Obviously, I don't have to spend as much money on clothes. It's not something I prioritize, so I don't really care about it. But at the same time, I feel like I do need to take into account some social norms. And it's not like I'm rolling in there and I've got like holes in my t-shirts where people can see my body parts and stuff like that. But it's just something that's been going through my head. I want to be aware. People that know me know how I roll, right? It's not a big deal. But for folks that I don't, and with it being kind of towards the beginning of the year, I guess I'm trying to be a little more thoughtful in how I present myself to some of the other parents. And I don't want to negatively affect some of the relationships that I might have with my daughter's classmates' parents, right? These are parents that I'm going to see maybe for the next year. I want to kick those off on the right foot, man. So what are your thoughts on that?
All right. So here are my thoughts. I think it's frugal. And here's why. I think as long as you've brushed your teeth that morning and they can have a conversation with you, you know, face to face without being like, oh, what's going on? Why does that guy smell weird?
Right.
I think you're good there.
Check.
And as long as, like you said, there's no holes in the t-shirt, I think you're good too. But I don't know. I think I'm biased. Like, I purposefully chose to work in radio because I knew you could wear whatever you want. That was half the reason I decided to go into that profession. For me, it just matters to be able to dress in a relaxed manner. And I know that even at the station I work at, I probably dress more relaxed than most people. And part of that's because I'm riding the bike every day, right? I'm sweating and people are used to seeing me typically wear shorts and a t-shirt. And so at this point, I've kind of set that standard. People know what they're getting. And I think if you set the standard, hey, this is who I am, this is how I roll, and you're at least within the bounds of normalcy, I think it's okay. If you roll in wearing like slippers and some nasty sweatpants that have stains all over them.
Like an old stinky bathrobe sort of thing as well, right?
Yeah, if you're like the Big Lebowski, the dude walking
exactly
in there.
That's exactly what I was imagining.
White Russian in hand at 8 a.m. I think that's a little bit different. But yeah, no, I think you can do it. As long as you look presentable. You don't have to be wearing collared shirts or anything like that, man. It's 2019. Do people still care about that? Come on.
Cool. Well, I was hoping, and I actually thought you would side with me, man. And I think, too, that being kind and interested in some of the other parents, I think that can kind of make up for, you know, what they would consider ills. And before they know it, they're like, oh, like, well, that guy kind of dresses funny, but he's really cool, so it's all right.
Yeah, I think they'll come around on you despite your lackadaisical dress style.
Lackadaisical indeed, man. I'm going to introduce our beverage for this episode. And I say beverage because we are having one more cider. This is a whiskey peach cider by Western Cider Company. This one was sent in to us by Ray. She sent us our beer on Monday's episode. And I'm excited to share this one with you on this episode.
Yeah, another product of Montana, just like my mom. She was born in the great state of Montana and lived there most of her life until college. It's a great state. And we'll find out how great this cider is. And we'll talk about it at the end of the episode. But for now, Matt, all right, on to the topic at hand. We're talking about the power of investing in yourself. And we talk a lot on the show about investing, the importance of putting your dollars into tax-advantaged retirement accounts and watching your returns compound over the decades. But your personal capital is the greatest asset that you have. The power to grow your income based on your unique skills and development is crucial as you grow as a person. And there are lots of ways that you can invest in yourself, right? You can invest in your mental health, your physical health, even your diet has a lot of effect on you and the way that you interact with the world around you and the way that you work. We wanted to mention those up front, but those are a lot of things that we're not going to touch on a whole lot in this episode. But there are a lot of ways that you can grow as a person by continuing to educate yourself over time. And I feel like it's one of those things in personal finance that where it's like the least talked about, that you can invest in yourself, you can grow your income and your range of abilities. And it just has massive impact on your bottom line throughout the years too, right?
Oh yeah, man, I totally agree. We talk a lot about ways that we can save money, right? Ways that we can cut our expenses, but we don't talk as much about ways to increase our actual income. Like you said, that's a huge lever that you can pull, and it's one that has long-lasting effects. And not only that, but it's a lever that we can pull that is more fun. You can cut expenses, but that's not really fun because it's removing things from your life. Certainly, it can provide clarity and focus, but man, how cool is it to be able to add skills to your tool belt and to grow your talent in just a number of different ways? Many of us finish school, whether in high school or in college, and we mostly stop developing our knowledge and skills. And so what that means is we have a comfy job and we're pretty content. And that might be okay, but challenging yourself to grow in these areas can have a massive payoff down the road. The internet has made excuses a thing of the past, but honestly, man, even before the internet, there's just lots of different businesses and career changes that took place with adults who had careers that were established. It just took that willingness and that hard work to make that change in your life. And that's not something that has changed at all. It's still hard. It still takes a lot of work, but we're lucky in the fact that we do have the internet. We have a lot of information at our fingertips to help make that change happen.
Yeah, that's so true. I feel like, yeah, the internet has taken away a lot of our excuses. There are these abilities for us to learn things that 20 years ago, there's a paywall essentially to getting access to that information. There is a class we have to take. There's a college that we have to enroll in. And now a lot of that information is at our fingertips and a lot of it is being given away for free. And so doing the same thing day in and day out and assuming that you're going to improve or progress is unrealistic. Like, you have to actually make a change. You have to do something different if you want to invest in yourself and make meaningful change going forward. And ultimately, increasing your knowledge and your skills in the ways that we're going to talk about can lead to bigger paychecks down the line. And earning more now has compounding effects in what you can save and invest, not only now, but also in future salaries that you can command later in the job that you're currently in as you grow, or as you seek new careers in different fields, or just with other companies.
And Joel, really what we're talking about here is we're encouraging folks to avoid being myopic. You might think that a single skill or two, you know, will help you to get where you want to go, and it might, right, for now. But we want to encourage folks to think about becoming an overall well-rounded person. Varied interests and pursuits will likely prove to be quite useful down the road when it comes to their careers. And we just talked about this, but having different hobbies, man, it is so important to have these interests beyond our work, these different things that we're drawn to when it does come time for retirement.
Yeah, those core pursuits that we've talked about are really helpful. But what we're talking about here really goes a lot past that. It's career development, it's growing your own skills, and we've got some important thoughts on those topics coming up right after the break.
All right, Joel, we're back, and we have now some general points on where to go and how to go about investing in yourself. First of all, if you already have a job, ask your boss what they need or what the company wants. Or similarly, you can go to a coworker who maybe has the job that you're trying to get. These are folks who you hopefully already have a relationship with. They're folks who can essentially lay out a roadmap of the different steps that you need to take. They can help provide you the direction and show you exactly where you need to go as you're looking to expand your skill set.
Yeah, I feel like asking your boss, hey, like, what do we need to do better around here? How can I fit into that? That's a great question. That's a way to get the ball rolling. Your boss probably has some good ideas. I'm sure there's something lacking in the business where you work, where you could actually step up and play a role in providing value. Another thing is to just kind of figure it out for yourself. If nobody is telling you the ways you can grow, you can take a more proactive approach. Spend some time figuring out where or how you can add value to your employer. So for instance, maybe there's bad photography on the website for the products where you work. You could take a photography class on the side and learn how to take better pictures. You could call Matt and ask for advice on how to take better pictures, right? Maybe the social media channel is greatly lacking and nobody's running it well or even has taken the reins to start social media channels for the business. And maybe you have a knack for that. That's a place that you can immediately start to add value. And you're investing yourself by growing this skill in the business world. And as you begin to take on added responsibility and grow your skill level in those ways, that's going to add to the things that you can put on your resume someday and also grow your value to the company that you're working for right now.
That's right, Joel. And something else to consider is growing a network of peers or professionals who are also in your industry. If you're looking to make a move professionally or maybe make more at your job, man, find ways to connect to people and to grow that network. Like Jordan Harbinger said back on a previous episode, contact someone in your industry every single day. You can also attend conferences and participate in industry events. You're essentially just spreading that network. You're spreading that web of different folks who you know where you could provide value for them immediately. It's all about those personal relationships. Those different connections that you can make with individuals are going to be invaluable to your career. And just keep in mind, though, that it always is a two-way street, right? You contact folks and you're trying to find ways to provide value for them now, while at the same time keeping in mind that these different relationships can provide value for you professionally in the long run.
Yeah, Matt, growing your network doesn't always feel like it's investing in yourself. It feels like it's investing in others. But truly, those relationships and building them up, I mean, they're investing in yourself at the same time. You're learning a lot from those relationships as you build them. And also, I love what you said about attending conferences and participating in those industry events. They often get overlooked. There are things locally, there are things on a national scale that we can participate in, and the connections that we're able to make face-to-face, spending quality time with people, maybe that we've just met even, are invaluable as we seek to grow that network. I know it's been the case for me, and I've heard other people say very similar things about attending important conferences in the field where you work. And oftentimes there are ways that you can get your employer to foot the bill for some or all of an industry conference. There are ways to pitch your boss on a conference that will make them excited to send you and put you up for a few days so you can grow your skill set to better serve the current company you work for, right?
Yeah, man. In that scenario, everybody wins. Something else we would encourage is to learn some practical skills or just something outside of your profession. So maybe that woodworking hobby of yours, it won't get you paid more right away, but it might be just the thing that you need to grow your creativity and your focus. So don't count out investing time in hobbies and interests because of the side benefit that it could have on you professionally down the road.
All right, another way to invest in yourself is to put your thoughts down on paper. I think it can be as simple as keeping a little journal, having something in your pocket, so you can write down thoughts or things that hit you throughout the day. It might be something bigger. It might be starting a blog or even writing a book. I feel like we learn so much by writing things down, by putting pen to paper, by getting our thoughts into something cohesive that we can go back to and we can look at. If we're prioritizing investing in ourselves, well, it's important to actually take the time to unearth some of those ideas that are going on beneath the surface. You know, so many of our best thoughts, Matt, come when our minds are wandering, like in the shower. I mean, how many people have you talked to and the shower is where they get their best ideas? That's the case for a lot of us because so many of us, our days are really structured and we fail to let our minds wander. So take a long walk, let your mind run while you're in the shower, and then proceed to take some time to write your thoughts down. It can increase your writing skills and also just let your creativity flow in a way that you normally don't allow it to.
Ooh, you know, actually now I don't prefer to get my best thoughts in the shower. I like to be in one of these saltwater chambers with this sort of white noise washing over me that lures me off to other dimensions, like sensory deprivation chambers. Have you heard of these things?
Oh, yeah, dude. Honestly, that's kind of like another hip thing. Everyone's into meditation and sensory deprivation chambers. It's kind of weird. I don't do either of them.
These are stranger things that I've not tried myself, but I want to give them a shot.
So. Yeah. All right. Well, make it happen, dude. All I can say is sensory deprivation, when you have young kids, I can see that being really helpful.
And also, let's not forget that we learn by actually trying things. It's easy for us to get stuck in our different routines. We kind of clock in, we clock out, we don't give much thought to it. We do the same things every day after work. It takes giving yourself the space to try different things, and I think to also not overthink it. I think sometimes we can kind of get to that state of analysis paralysis, and we're afraid to make any changes in our lives. We're afraid to take any steps towards something that might bring us closer to what we really and truly want in the end. And in those cases, what we truly need to do is to just take action.
You know what it's fun to do? It's fun to think about all the things that we could do. I enjoy that because I feel like just thinking about it gets me off the hook for actually doing it. But I know that what I need to do is to just try it, is to give something a shot. And it's easier to kind of keep it in the recesses of my mind and think about all the possible things that could happen if I did try it. Living in that fantasy world actually makes it easier on me sometimes. But I know that when I do take those ideas seriously and I try to implement some of them, well, sometimes I fail. Sometimes I fall flat on my face and it doesn't work out. But really, I never know unless I try it. And so I think if nothing else, you know, the power of investing in yourself is to try new things. And even if you fail, it's okay. But the worst thing is to have these great ideas ruminating in the back of your head about this business that you want to start or this way in which you want to change an industry or even just a way that you want to contribute more at your current job and holding back and not trying it out. Ultimately, that's the biggest failure. Forcing yourself to actually take action is a huge part of growing your skills and refining your talent.
All right, so where do we go from here? We're going to talk about some specific non-traditional ways that you can invest in yourself, some of which are even free, right after the break.
All right, Matt, we're back and we're talking about investing in yourself, the power of investing in yourself. And I think oftentimes when people think about investing in themselves, preparing for the future, making more money, changing professions, so many of the places that we turn are places that end up costing us a lot of money. You know, I actually just recently read an article in the New Yorker and the author said, you know what, my original college degree helped me get into journalism. That was really important for me. But then I went to get a master's degree and basically it hasn't done anything for me. It cost me a lot of money, but it's not doing anything for me when it comes to advancing me in my profession, allowing me to earn more. And so I think it's important for us to consider not just the idea of going back to school, getting a master's degree, going further in our education in that way, although that can sometimes be helpful. But I think there are a lot of other ways, some outside of the box ways, some less expensive ways that people can further their education, further their learning that can help them in their career. And I'm not saying that you can't earn more with a higher degree, that those aren't important. And in particular, with specific skill sets like lawyer, doctor, architect, if you specifically want to enter a career in that realm, then getting an advanced degree is an obvious necessity.
Yeah, the stats show that the highest levels of education, Joel, right? Like you said, the doctors, the professional degrees, you're going to earn more than three times the salary of just the lowest levels of education, and which is like less than a high school diploma. So essentially, the more you learn, the more you earn. But like you said, you've got to consider the different costs. We recently had our episode with Christy Shen, where she talked about her POTS score, which is a ratio of what you get paid over the cost of getting that degree. So essentially, she's not just looking at the degree itself just to get that degree, but she's looking at it from a practical standpoint. And you have to do that when you're considering higher education. You've got to look at those costs.
I just saw a Facebook post from a friend who is exactly our age and has been in school for a long, long time. She just finished her doctorate program and she's having a hard time finding employment. She's overeducated for the jobs that she really wants to take on. So I think it is a warning for people that more education doesn't necessarily equate to better jobs with more pay. If there is an advanced degree that you think is really important that you want to pursue and you're currently employed, well, see if your employer offers an incentive for you to go back to school. that can be one of those really cool benefits that most people don't take advantage of that you can take advantage of. If, let's say, your employer is willing to send you back and pay 75% of the cost for you to get an MBA or for you to get a master's degree in something that is going to help you in your day job, but then it helps your resume out for the long term at the same time, that's totally worth considering.
Yeah, and look around beyond just the standard MBA programs. There might be some other certifications that you haven't even thought about. For example, I'm thinking of Seth Godin's Alt MBA workshop. That's one that comes to mind. There's a lot of other professional certifications that you can get that will also apply to your master's program. So if down the road you actually do decide to get your master's, some of those programs can actually be applied to that specific degree.
Yeah, Matt, we're going to get into some of the lower hanging fruit, some of the free and cheap stuff that we can partake in where we can really invest in ourselves and help our careers and our personal talent level advance. But I think it's worth mentioning that it can be worth it for us to spend money. It's not all about doing it as cheaply as possible. If we're able to invest in ourselves wisely, then it can be worth it to put real money towards investing in ourselves. And so something like you just mentioned, like Seth Godin's Alt MBA program, that could be $3,800 really well spent. Those 4 weeks could be life-changing. I haven't done it. I think it sounds really cool. It sounds like a lot of fun. That the people that you meet and the skills that you learn could be easily worth $3,800. So I do want to stress that it's not all about being as frugal as possible when it comes to investing in yourself. Like ultimately, that might be cheap. You might be cheaping out on your own self and on your own future if you're not willing to put some dollars forth at the same time. Investing in your own personal capital, you'll typically see a really good return for that. Not only in the level of satisfaction that you can get out of your work, but also in the level of income that you're able to make in the years ahead.
Yeah, you know, so much of this is dependent upon the industry that you're in and the cost of the education or the program that you're looking at. It takes a little bit of analysis to figure out whether or not this is actually going to be worth your time and your money. But like you said, Joel, yeah, you don't want to end up cheaping out in an attempt to be frugal. However, there are truly some great free and affordable places that we can grow ourselves, where we can grow our skill set. Joel, let's just talk about books and audiobooks, right? If you don't like to read, audiobooks are a great answer. It is hard to find a better way to invest in yourself than to read more or to listen to more audiobooks. Hit up your local library. There's Project Gutenberg, which has a lot of the classics. But man, specifically, I've recently found openculture.com, which is a fantastic resource when it comes to free online education as well as different courses. Obviously, these are all ways that are going to require a little bit of gumption, some self-motivation, some self-direction, but you also can't beat the cost. Totally free.
Yeah, I love audiobooks. I'm about to start listening to Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, the guy who started Nike. I've heard awesome things about that book.
Nice.
Yeah, I got it on the Libby app. So I'm about to check that one out.
Wait, why is it called Shoe Dog? Do you know why?
No, I don't know. I don't yet.
Because you haven't read it yet.
Exactly. I'll find out shortly.
All right, let me know.
But yeah, like we said at the beginning of the episode, the internet has kind of made a lot of excuses fall by the wayside. The fact that we now have access to so many free classic books, to so many free textbooks, to so many free lectures from experts in fields that we're interested in, it's really incredible when you stop to think about it for even just a second. Podcasts are another one of those ways that we can access information that we otherwise couldn't, that people are putting out there for free. If you wanted to grow your knowledge in the area of personal finance, well, you've got this show, right? The How to Money. And there are countless other great personal finance shows out there as well. Man, there's one I listen to called The Knowledge Project. And this guy, Shane Parrish, does a great job of talking to just really interesting folks every week. There are CEOs, there are people that have started companies, there are people that are experts in parenting, you know, whatever it is. I learn about something new every week. And it's free knowledge that he's putting out there. He's putting a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of hard work into creating it. And then I reap the benefits. So don't forsake these kind of free ways to grow yourself, to invest in yourself in an attempt to not only maybe become more knowledgeable in a specific topic or field, but also to kind of grow your knowledge across a wide base. I kind of really like that approach.
Man, I think oftentimes podcasts get a little discounted though because they're entertainment with a little bit of knowledge kind of slipped in there, but there really is some true great knowledge that you can learn via podcasts. However, if you like your education to be presented in a more structured format, there's always online courses and there are so many free online courses. edX and Coursera are both fantastic sites to check out. And you've always got TED Talks. And again, Open Culture is a fantastic resource. And there are a lot of high-level business courses as well, man. We're not just talking about the classics and humanities. One recently that I saw in there, I think, was offered by Penn State, and it was titled How to Apply to College, which seemed like a very practical and amazing course to take if you're in high school.
Yeah, right? I know. Yeah. Applying for colleges, it has become like an art form. But Matt, kind of zooming out on this idea of investing in yourself, I feel like we just kind of ran through a bunch of interesting resources that can be really helpful to people as they start to think through how they want to invest in themselves and how much money they want to put into this. And in some cases, it probably makes sense for some people in specific fields to spend a good bit of money on investing in themselves and growing their education. And for other people, some of these free resources and just kind of tapping that curiosity that has maybe laid dormant since high school is a great way to at least begin to invest in yourself again. I think really ultimately you never know what's going to stick, what's going to provide value in the long run. I know some of the things that I dabble in just as pure curiosity, even if they don't pay off in my future career earnings or in how I spend my time when it comes to my day job, there are things that still are meaningful to me. They matter a whole lot. And I'm not going to kind of turn off that learning spigot just because it's not increasing my income. So just know that investing in yourself doesn't always lead to hard skills that directly equate to increased income. And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah, Joel, but that's sort of the fine point here, right? Is that it may not only be for your own enrichment. Like we said at the beginning, we don't want you to be nearsighted. You might learn these skills. You might commit hours to industry events. You might build professional relationships that might seem to go nowhere for now. But down the road, these are bridges that you have built that you'll have the opportunity to cross because you spent the time and the effort and sometimes the money to invest in yourself.
Yeah, Matt, I feel like a lot of what we're talking about here, that there's certainly an element and a really big one to which investing in yourself often leads to increased earnings and a general level of increased satisfaction. Because I think investing in yourself really, in so many ways, is feeding kind of this essential human thirst for knowledge that we have. And if anybody's listening to this podcast, they have this thirst for personal finance knowledge. And sometimes that comes out of necessity. That comes out of realizing, oh, I haven't been doing this well for a lot of years, or nobody ever taught me how to handle my money. And so I need someone to kind of somehow teach me the ropes. And I feel like, Matt, that's in large part kind of what we're here to do on this show, right? But as you're getting your personal finances together, as you're eliminating debt, as you're investing in your 401k, your Roth IRA, whatever you're doing to grow your wealth for the long term, don't neglect your human capital. Don't neglect to invest in yourself. And sometimes you're going to easily be able to see how that investment is going to be able to pay off for you in either the short term or the long term. And in other ways, you might not be able to see how it's going to benefit you. But tapping into that curiosity and allowing yourself to explore, especially with all the free resources that are at your disposal now. In my mind, this is really a call to let our curiosity run wild and maybe even give us the freedom to pursue things that we never even thought possible or weren't even on our radar before.
Yeah, man. Like you said, you never know what's going to stick. So let's take it back now to our cider for this episode. This is Whiskey Peach Cider by Western Cider Company. Thanks again to Ray for sending this one our way. I'll go ahead and share my thoughts, man. This was a really tart and sweet cider all at the same time. It was just a really robust, full-flavored cider. And because of that, I really enjoyed it. A lot of times the ciders we have are a little more dry. I enjoyed this one with it being a little more full and robust. And with it, it had that finish of whiskey barrels. So you could totally taste the sweetness there from the whiskey. You could pick up on that oakiness from those barrels. And so because of that, I really enjoyed this one, man. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's weird to hear you say, let's get back to that cider, because that's just not...
Doesn't quite flow like, let's get back to that beer.
Right, yeah.
We'll promise not to make it a habit, right?
Totally, yeah. This is a very rare appearance of a cider on the show. But it was really interesting, man. Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. The two words that described it the best for me were rustic and earthy. And so it did have these nice peach flavors coming through. A touch of vanilla, I thought, on the tongue. And when I say rustic and earthy, by the way, I mean those as really complimentary terms. I feel like those descriptors mean that there was a lot of love and care and that the original ingredients that were put into this cider actually really shined through.
Yeah, man, I would totally agree with you. It's hard to describe, but it's almost as if the ingredients that went into this specific cider, it's like they were processed less.
I was going to say handled with care.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
So yeah, even though we don't have ciders often on the show, this was a fun one to drink. Always fun to have something from the great state of Montana. Big sky country. So big thanks to listener Ray for sending this one our way. We really appreciate it. All right, Matt, let's get to our final thoughts for this episode really quickly. I just want to say that challenging yourself to grow is a really important part of investing in yourself. And increasing your knowledge and your skills can ultimately lead to bigger paychecks down the road. And that has compounding effects for the amount of money that you can earn over time, in addition to the personal fulfillment you can find by prioritizing that.
Yeah, and aside from the more traditional costly ways of higher education, Joel, there are lots of free and affordable ways not only to gain knowledge, but to also expand your network of professionals you know in a specific industry. That doesn't necessarily cost money, nor does brainstorming and getting your thoughts down on paper. When you give yourself the time to think creatively, you can not only find ways to find more fulfillment in your work, but you can also brainstorm in ways that you can invest in yourself professionally. There are a lot of instances where spending money on our education, on investing in ourselves for the future, is the default, right? But just know that you don't have to spend money and that there are a lot of great free options out there. So Joel, that's going to be it for this episode, man. We will have our show notes up on our website at howtomoney.com.
Yeah, and if you like the show, if you feel like listening to this show has kind of in some way been investing in yourself, well, we'd appreciate it if you would consider telling a friend. Matt and I, we've got a mission to help people live rich lives on less money, and we want to see more and more folks be able to do that.
Yeah, don't discount those podcasts.
Like we mentioned, free way of growing your knowledge, right?
Yeah, that's right. So until next time,
best friends out.
Best friends out.